Welcome to CFTV Live with Jared and Jeff, presented by AgriGold. As always, I feel like we don't give AgriGold enough love, even though we do give AgriGold a significant amount of love, because they put up with a lot between the incoherent, nonsensical ramblings that I take us down and the technological problems that we just run into, still blaming that on Gray.
Yeah.
They put up with a lot, so cheers.
Specifically with your nonsensical rants.
I don't know if that's truly nonsensical. I feel like there's a pretty decent logical train that just...
I mean, it depends on which rant you're going down. There's some of your rants you go on that have really no rhyme or reason to them, and I don't think you even really know where they're going to go until all of a sudden you're in them, and you're just like, oh, okay, this is how far I'm going to go with this.
You ever go on, I think we used this metaphor last time, but you ever go on road trips with your dad? And so the way my dad was, grew up on a farm, and doesn't need no damn maps. Mm-hmm. He just knows I have to get southwest. Okay. Well, this road looks like it heads south and west. I'm going to take this road. All of a sudden you find a whole bunch of dead ends. But every once in a while you find a really solid pass through road. I feel like that's the way my brain works. It's like, I want to get to this point. I don't know how I'm going to get there, but I'm going to get there. Man, and sometimes you run into dead ends. But more often than not, I feel like I find some type of way to break through.
It's really
to
one,
get to a
one hell
very
of an analogy.
Stupid point.
I was doing a podcast with Jay Jordan yesterday, and
he's much smarter than I am.
We had a topic that we were talking about, and he said, you might want to ask Jeff about that. It might actually keep him on topic for a little bit.
Nope.
And that's what I said. I was like, I don't know. That might be a stretch.
Nope.
It would keep you on topic for 2 minutes, and then you would be right back off topic rather quickly.
And I'm almost offended that he thinks that something... will keep me on topic. Isn't that part of the majesty of the show, though? there is really, what would be better than listening to the most random crap than you, focused things? You focus at work all the time. Part of the joy, I feel like, of my brain is that, you can take a detour every once in a while, and it's okay.
You would be surprised at how many people on our board... how many people on Twitter literally want us to only talk about sports and could not care less about anything else that we talk about.
Stick to sports people?
Yeah.
I'm not going to stick to sports. I'm just saying.
But the thing is that most
blank,
of the...
That's not
of the time, the rants that we go on are... we're started on sports and then somehow we ended up on something else.
On UConn Cornelius.
Or James Bond villains.
Okay, I still maintain that one's true. Mitch Lightfoot is a Bond villain. He's 30 years away from being a Bond
villain. He's even more of a James Bond villain now because he's a 4-time Big 12 champion.
If Kansas' title streak was a person, it would have just got its learner's permit.
Well, that's something.
Yeah, it'd be in 8th grade, just got its learner's permit.
I'm not a fan of that.
No.
Yeah, I'm not happy that you said that to me now.
No.
I was 10 years old when the streak started.
Absolutely true.
I wasn't even in middle school.
You would have been younger than 10. You're not 28.
I'm 24.
Yeah, you'd have
So I'm 10.
Oh, shoot. I'm going to just leave. That mental math was so bad. I apologize for everybody. All right, well,
you're not 28. Yeah, I know. I'm 24.
24 minus 10.
Actually, I'm not even 24. I'm 23. Man, I don't even know how old I am. This is a hell of a day.
Well, things happen with Iowa State football, so that's cool.
Iowa State's looking for an offensive coordinator, man. What do you think about it?
I don't know. I feel like the only thing that you could trend with this staff, which is actually kind of cool that you sort of can trend it, is... when people are like, oh, so who do you think's going to be the new OC? I was like, well, the only thing that you can probably attest to is that he doesn't deviate from who he's worked with.
Mm-hmm.
It's for positions like this. Like, if you're going to, the Shehos, that hire, he worked with Golish at Illinois, correct?
Yeah, yeah.
And so, that was bringing a position coach from, a referral from somebody. Okay, you're going to learn how to be in the culture of this coaching staff by being a position coach, but you're not going to, be a coordinator or director of anything. But the guys that are coordinators or directors of something, he has personally worked with before in some capacity. And so the only way that you can really, I would think, know who it's going to be is who does he absolutely trust? And it's people that he's worked with before. And so if it's not an internal hire up to
a
coordinator.
Internal.
Probably. Yeah. But if it's not an internal promotion, the only person that you would go, like the only way that you could go out of that, like the current staff to be the new OC is going to be like, say he worked, you know, when he was at Toledo, there was some like wide receivers coach that is now a coordinator at X school, you know, Eastern Washington or whatever. And then all of a sudden that guy is looking to move up into a kind of a Power Five conference. And then that guy would come back because he already had worked with him in some capacity at another school. Mm-hmm. Because I think that's the nicest thing. And you can say this with pretty ease, like with a pretty decent ease, that the probably the best part about this staff is the trust that they have across the board. Like there's no dissension. I mean, knock on wood, but from the outside perspective, there's no dissension in like, well, I wish this would have happened, or I don't like this guy, or I don't like this guy. It's all right. We need to do this job, and I trust you to do your job. And so I think if you are going to look outside of the current coaching staff for a coordinator, it would have to be something like that, where it's a guy he's already worked with in some capacity, who's right now already a coordinator somewhere else that he would want to come back in.
Yeah, and I mean, I think there's some positives to take away from this too that can come out of it. You know, when you look at what Iowa State's offense has been able to do in these past 2 years, obviously it's been one of the more productive offenses, two of the more productive offenses Iowa State's ever had in program history. But there's a lot of things too that they can do better. I mean, the running game has been up and down.
Mm-hmm. And they have a freak to give it to.
Yeah, and if they can find competency, like above averageness on the offensive line, then David Montgomery can be a 1,500 to 1,800, 2,000 yard rusher. Like he's that kind of guy.
Right. He's got two more years to do it.
Yeah.
I mean, assuming two more years.
Yeah.
It's like potentially realistic conversation that if he has just a breakout season and he's projected first, second round, we may only get him for one more year.
See, and even we even just saw this season that, you know, a guy can have a breakout season at the running back position. That doesn't necessarily mean he's going to go to the NFL. I mean,
right.
Bryce Love's not going to the NFL.
Right.
And he just finished second in the Heisman voting, you know.
Well, I don't think he projects as well to the NFL as someone like Montgomery does. Love is a speedster guy. And he's very, like I said, explosive.
Yeah.
But he's not an every down back in the NFL. I mean, he's what, 205 maybe? 200?
Yeah, I'm not
maybe,
sure.
If that.
Yeah.
He doesn't, like, the trend of running backs in the NFL is just the trend of every other position. It's a dude who has to turn sideways to get through a door because his shoulders are so broad. Like, that's the guys that they're looking to get in the NFL. Like, Dalvin Cook is a small to average size back. I mean, prior to tearing his ACL, he knew he was 225.
Yeah.
So that kind of body, it lends itself more. So the Love thing, I think, I mean, it makes sense for him to come back, but
he'll play like the same position as McCaffrey,
right?
Which is just like everything, you know.
Yeah,
he's a rover.
Yeah,
I'm going rover.
You're gonna play offense.
Yeah,
that's it.
Every Kenne Nwangwu position.
Yeah, that is the absolute Swiss Army knife that whoever is the coordinator. What does he do?
Yeah, everything. Catches the ball.
Where does he go?
It's like on, you seen the movie Friday Night Lights?
Yes.
At the beginning, when Boobie Miles' uncle is in the stands talking to the college recruiters.
And he can't pass.
Yeah, yeah. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
He can run the ball, he can catch the ball, and he can pass. Like that kind of thing. So we need to see, can I pass? We need to know if he can pass.
I read.
So that one of us can sit in the stands and be like Boobie Miles' uncle.
I read an article on like where they're now kind of thing.
Uh-huh. Not written by Rob Gray?
No. Not. Quality, but maybe not Rob Gray quality. But Chavo, the one guy that was like supposed to like have, you know, made it out.
Yeah.
Like he went to Harvard Law School. He ended up transferring back to Texas Tech, got his law degree, and then got disbarred from practicing law because he like broke into somebody's house and like beat the hell out of somebody with a group of people.
That's not how I expect that to go.
No, it's not.
Boobie Miles actually has a very sad life as well.
Yeah,
I've read some stories about him.
I maintain
his life like never got any better after.
I will maintain that, and this is coming from a football guy, this is a weird detour, that the emphasis placed on high school football in the state of Texas is monumentally unhealthy for children. Extremely unhealthy. Let's take nothing away from the physical part of it. When the when you have 60,000 people, 50,000, 40,000 people coming to a high school game, and you're a middle of the road football player.
Yeah.
When you graduate, 50,000 people don't give a damn what you do ever again. And so the highlight of what you what you feel as perception of importance, is when you're 16 years old. So from then forward, it's all downhill. Cause you want to, there's nothing you do is going to feel as important as that, because there's not 40,000 people shouting for you. I mean, granted,
unless you can go play
high level. And even if you play high level, then it's the only important thing that you're worthwhile for is 40,000 people. Like when you play football, when you're 15, 16, 17, 18, then you go play at Oklahoma and then there's 100,000 people for 3 years. All of a sudden you're done. You didn't make it to the NFL. What now? This is a very dark, very weird detour from Friday Night Lights, but I am not.
I was just going to say, man, now I'm sad.
I'm a fan of the emphasis placed on sports here in the great state of Iowa, because it's important, but the kids, the player is more important than the action of the player, in my opinion.
And everybody's just out there to learn some lessons.
when you're playing AGWSR Ackley versus Arweva West Side, I don't think really 70,000 people are showing up.
I used to know what AGWSR stands for, but I can't remember what it is now.
I remember
Steamboat Rock is, I think, the last one.
Yeah. Somebody's going to tell us.
Yeah.
But I always remember, because 4A and 1A and track would go at the same time, and 2A and 3A would go at the same time. And so, all these 4A schools, Southeast Polk, it's a big district.
Yeah.
And so it has a bunch of stuff in it. And they just were like, yeah, we're not going to call it Runnels, Altoona, Mitchellville, Pleasant Hill. They're just like, that's Southeast Polk. But then when they have all the combined school districts, that it's one of my joys is to hear the Drake Relays guy or the state broadcaster and here comes Katie Smith from, and then takes 14 seconds to get the name of the entire school out. That's one of my favorite little tiny pride, tiny joys in life, is just listening to some very, very astute, very professional broadcaster.
It's Mike J, isn't it?
I'm not sure. It sounds.
Yeah, so he's it sounds like heaven. Famous track announcer.
Yeah, sounds like heaven.
Oh, he's phenomenal. Anytime you hear his voice, it's just a big, big meet.
Something
going on.
Something happened.
Yeah.
Something is important.
Yeah. Harlan has 8 different towns in it, but they just call it Harlan
it's
Community.
It's Harlan.
Yeah. Harlan Community. That's what I never got. They've got all these different communities, but they just call it Harlan Community.
Well, was it Harlan? It probably was just Harlan first, and they're we got dibs.
Yeah.
They called
I'm glad that we've really gone down this road as well.
Small school Iowa? What's bad about small school Iowa?
No, I went to a small school in Iowa.
See?
I didn't go to a consolidated school, but I did.
You guys are so fancy.
I know. Well, I mean, we've absorbed other schools, but we're still just us. Where's Clarinda?
Hmm?
Where's Clarinda?
I thought you said, where's Clarinda?
No, I just said, we're just Clarinda. Sorry,
I was going to say, that seems like a really poor question for your hometown, if you don't know where it is.
I know where it is. 10 miles north of Missouri, 1 hour east of Nebraska. There you go.
Cool.
Wow. We started talking about football when we got to get here.
I don't know if we can bring this back on the rails, because it's such an odd time where, and this isn't, I mean, we talked about this in the last one. It seems like it seems like we're watching the Cap City League when you watch Iowa State basketball now.
And I don't want to preview tonight's game, because then this is outdated in 2 hours.
Right. And so the thing is the interest in Iowa State basketball is still there, but it's not in the same sense that it has been in years past, where it's all right, we're watching these guys because we're going to watch them learn. We're going to watch them grow. Oh, okay, Lindell's doing this. And this is how they're feeling each other out, and they're still learning. It's watching the Cap City League.
You don't watch to be excited about today. You watch because you know you'll be excited in 6 months.
Yeah. And so you know that your Hilton's still going to be filled up. There's still going to be people there. It's still going to be a great atmosphere no matter what home game they play. But you kind of don't expect to win. You're like, well, that'd be nice.
Yeah.
And so you kind of just watch it knowing I'm learning. And then football, we've already hashed everything with football, and really nothing's happened since then. Spring ball starts probably in what,
3 weeks, 4 weeks.
Because spring game's middle of April, so
yeah,
probably
14th.
Probably soon, then I would think. Like practices would start,
say
what, 2 weeks?
It's the week after spring break, and I'm sure spring break is usually the first weekend of the NCAA tournament. So.
Yeah, so it started, what, two, 3 weeks?
Yeah.
Yeah. So nothing's happened since then.
No.
And
well, I mean, except for the offensive coordinator leaving. I just did a 45-minute podcast on football yesterday.
Right, and but what do we know from then? Like, the offensive coordinator left.
Basically, other than that, it's just Jay and I just talk. Dude, Jay can – he can talk just as much about as you can, but when he goes down random roads, it's actually about football.
Mine or not. I mean, I can.
Well, I know you can because I've seen you do it before, but I just, at this time of year, you don't do that.
Don't.
You just go off on whatever you want to talk about.
I don't know. Do people have a problem with this? If you do, I don't have Twitter on my phone, but I check it like once a week now on the computer. Because you can get – did you know you can still do Twitter on the computer?
I do Twitter on the computer regularly.
Like it's
– it's what I do at basketball games.
On a laptop. Like you can actually log into Twitter.
I have it right here. See? There it is.
Huh. It's interesting.
Somebody tweeted at me about Joel Embiid. I'll have to look at that later.
So I'll check it like once a week if you want to say like, hey, stick to sports. Sure.
I mean, we've talked about sports this entire time. Basically.
Like a very relative amount of sports.
Yeah. All right. So I'll just say, what do you think can be a positive that can come out of finding a new offensive coordinator?
Well, I think the thing that can come out of positive is you get kind of new enthusiasm or energy. And so this is like a purposeful detour. So, you know, if you ever built something, and so like say you're trying to get, you know, you're building a coffee table or something like that, and you cannot figure out how to get one thing there. And so you, like my dad and I will build stuff together. And so like my dad and I are looking at something and all of a sudden my brother comes out like, after, you know, he's over for dinner.
Yeah.
And he goes, why don't you just take that and turn it upside down? And you're like, I've been staring at this for 3 hours trying to figure out how this works. And he comes out here for 5 minutes and looks and already makes some suggestion.
Yeah.
And so I think the good thing, one of the good things that can come from that is that you have a different perspective on whether it's a coordinator spot or a new coach that comes in. There's a different perspective of how you use somebody like Kanae Nwangu, mm-hmm. or how you get somebody like Rael Mitchell, Wildcat packages and different ideas, or how you fit offensive line run schemes because we have strengths in X, Y, and Z. So the good thing that can come from it is you get new ideas that you wouldn't have already had because it's not the same pot of people. There are probably others. But the one that comes right to mind is the fact that diversity of opinion is going to be always the better opinion.
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of what I think, too. It just, like, gives a different guy the keys a little bit, you know. Let's see if somebody else can drive the car.
And sees how – I mean, I think there is a precedent because if you're going to be a coordinator at any Division I spot, you've been around a lot of offense.
Yeah.
And you've already got 2 years of kind of – one full good year, and then kind of like the back half of the year before was sort of similar, mm-hmm. where it's you get to see what this offense can be and what it wants to be, and then you can kind of tweak it from there. Like, you're not going to fundamentally change the core of what the offense is going to look like. It's going to, if you didn't know the coordinator was different next year, you probably wouldn't know the coordinator was different.
Right.
So it's just going to be little things around the fringe of the core of the offense. So it's still going to be probably one tight, one H-back somewhere in there, and a tailback. And then they're going to flex people around from there. So like, it's still going to be a spread run offense. But it's going to look different in how they get there sometimes. Those little things, like I said, like combo blocks. What's the timing on this? What's the consistency and order in which they do things? When you do like rub routes on with the wide receivers, like do those things, the timing of those, where do those match up? What reads, where are the quarterback's eyes looking first, et cetera? Little things like that. Like it's not going to change the fundamentals of the offense. It's not going to be like, all right, well, we're Baylor now.
Yeah.
It's not going to, all right, we're going to triple option. It's just, it'll be a spread, a power run spread team with a slightly different feel.
For sure. I have something else I want to ask you about.
What's
first,
that?
First, we need to take a break. And I will ask you when we come back.
Hey guys, it's Chris. Want to take a quick break on this podcast here at Cyclone Fanatic to tell you about my friends at Ames Eye Clinic and Des Moines Eye Care. These are great fanatics. They are jumping on board, supporting what we are doing here. You know why? Because you guys support them. They accept all sorts of medical and vision plans, a couple of convenient locations located in Ames and also in Des Moines, AmesEyeClinic.com, DesMoinesEyeCare.com. They offer same-week appointments. They can do anything from a routine vision exam to a medical eye exam. They've got a large selection of eyewear, also for your contact lenses. So if you're in the need for some eye care, I want to tell you about our friends at Ames Eye Clinic and Des Moines Eye Care. Support them because they support Cyclone Fanatic. Now, back to the Cyclone Fanatic podcast.
Welcome back to CFTV Live. Jared just expertly teased a question prior to the break.
I did. Presented by Agricole, by the way, CFTV Live. What was I going to ask you? Oh, okay. So we were talking yesterday about the offensive line. And something I've noticed in the first 2 years of the Matt Campbell era is that Iowa State has had significantly less soft tissue injuries with their offensive linemen mm-hmm. in these 2 years. What was it about the end of the Rhodes year era that had – it seemed like every year on the first day of spring practice somebody tear the ACL or something like that, you know? Mm-hmm. What is it do you think that has changed in that time? And obviously you were there near the end of it. That what did you see that you think could be different?
Well, I think what could be different – I haven't watched enough practice to know what this would be, but the things that would come to mind, there's a couple of them. One is that there's way more consistency, is there's less shuffling around of guys. And what most of the time with injuries that in the offensive line, like sprained ankles or broken bones, like the Campos injury that had a while ago, what offensive line is the only position on the field, if you think about this, the only position on the field that never looks at the ball,
yeah,
ever. And so they don't know where the play is going. They're doing their job because that's what they need to do. And they're not saying, okay, I'm going to do my job because the ball is going here. Quarterbacks obviously hold it. Running backs carry it. Every defensive player is trying to tackle it, and wide receivers catch it. Offensive line is looking the other way. And so a lot of times offensive line injuries come from getting rolled up on because the ball is behind them and they don't have the time to move around. Well, and what consistency provides is when you have the same guys playing the same positions over and over and there's less flipping around, is that you know if I'm going to be doing this thing, I know that this guy is weaker than me to my left. A lot of times I'm going to have to create more space to keep myself away from this position. Or I know that I'm not going to get my foot stepped on because this is another weird analogy, but like if you like say you have a like girlfriend, fiance, wife, and you dance with her like at a wedding, and it's, you know, whether it's a slow dance, and the first time you dance with her, you may step on her feet a couple times because you're not used to where the steps go.
Right.
But then all of a sudden you do two or three more dances throughout the night, and it's, I mean, loop, confidence fluid notwithstanding, your steps get a lot more in sync. You understand where each person's going to be.
Yeah, yeah.
You never heard that before?
No. No, liquid courage is what I've heard.
Confidence fluid. So the
it's like
consistency.
You got to put in your car. You got to get some more confidence fluid.
Yeah. But it's like aiming fluid on the golf course.
Yeah.
But the more you're around somebody, the more you've taken steps together, because offensive linemen's feet are only like that far apart when they're starting. And each one of these dudes is 315 pounds and each step has to be bang, bang, bang. And so if one person has bad steps or they're unfamiliar with where the steps go, then a lot of times there can be overlap and they end up, instead of being here on their third step, they're here. And so roll-ups or someone getting tripped or someone falling, the consistency of having offensive linemen do the same thing all the time is going to be easier to avoid roll-ups or avoid getting tripped or knocked into or something like that. And I think the second thing would come from probably scheme, where these guys do a lot of zone running, but they also do a lot of gap scheme, which means, and I don't know if Jay talked about gap scheme or versus zone scheme at all. So zone scheme is everybody's moving this way, right? So like I'm going to my right, the zone on my right, whatever shows up here, I'm going to end up taking because that's my important thing.
Yeah.
And the guy to my left is going to take mine. The guy to my left is going to take mine. What a gap scheme is you're going to move somebody out of the way, but then you're going to bring somebody around behind it. So like that's what power is. Power, counter, ISO, stuff like that is I'm going to move this direction, move this direction, and this is the gap I'm looking for. It's not zone is I'm going to move everybody across, and then where an opening is, the running back's going to find it. Gap goes move, run right here. And so these guys run a lot of gap scheme plays. And what gap scheme plays can do is that with zone, there's five guys that have to be running at the same time. And if you do it right, it's beautiful. But a lot of times there can be somebody that, again, if it's not familiar, will trip on themselves.
Yeah.
Where gap scheme plays, you can push somebody down, pull somebody around behind it, and then this is going to create like a crater for a lineman to actually get through. And so gap scheme plays, one would think, would be less apt to roll up on somebody because there is a lineman running at full speed in a direction rather than kind of pacing going one direction.
Like going forward,
right.
Trying to push somebody rather
right.
than just reading what where people are on the
right.
field.
And so rather than trying to slow and pace, and then once you have a zone, then that's when you capture it. It's, I'm going to run move and then let 300-pound guy going full speed. Yeah. That's a beautiful thing, by the way. When you see like a really athletic guard pulling, it's magnificent to watch.
I mean,
it's like watching
a
rhino run through like the Serengeti.
Yeah.
You see just an athletic, just large animal.
Yeah, I mean, you think about the guys that like will win the Outland or something like that, and like
athletic as hell,
right? And there'll always be that one highlight of them pulling around
and
just laying somebody out, you know.
And I never played defense, and I'm kind of glad that I didn't, because I would have been linebacker. And linebacker is fun. Would be fun because you get to run side to side and cover stuff. But like outside linebacker would be fun. Like middle linebacker would suck.
Yeah.
Because
you're caught in the traffic there.
You're the guy that rhino wants to hit, and you can't move around it.
Yeah.
You can't. Like,
that's what makes what Joel was able to do so impressive, mm-hmm. I would say.
Yeah.
I mean, to go from, he gets hit like every three or four plays, doesn't get hit at all in the middle of the week.
And as a ball carrier, I can tell you, you're very rarely, if ever, forced to take contact in a certain spot.
Yeah.
Like, as a ball carrier, I can put you on my body where I want you on mine. So, like, if you're coming head on, I don't have to hit you forehead to forehead. I don't have to keep something square. I can glance off of the shoulder. I can set up an angle where defensive players, they can't take an angle. Because, like, say we're going gap scheme. Somebody line or tackle and guard on the left side pushes somebody down this way. We have a tight end kick somebody out this way. And you have a guard coming back around. If a linebacker plays this on one side or the other, then plays it this way, the guard just moves in that way, all of a sudden there's this huge open hole.
Right.
What the way you have to do that is you've got to fit that square, and you have to try and make it an uncomfortable read for the running back, and you have to try and take this on like this. So I'm glad that I didn't play linebacker, and it's amazing that Joel did, because you can't unsquare that up.
Yeah. How many more concussions would you have gotten if you would have played linebacker?
A significant volume, and I'm, like I said, glad I didn't, because I got shoulders and a neck that still work.
That's always a positive. All right, so getting back to that, outside of scheme, is there anything that goes into like the strength and conditioning stuff that you think could make a difference, or is it just like some of it's just luck?
It is a significant portion luck, and there probably is a lot about strength or with strength and conditioning, but I think there's also not necessarily about the strength and conditioning program, but if you're recruiting guys that are more athletic, they're going to pick up strength faster, and so you're not getting and I'm not using this as like a huge as a giant negative example, but the Rhodes guys would recruit like a 6'6", 220-pound offensive lineman and hope in 4 years he's going to end up putting enough weight on.
But like, then all of a sudden he'd have to play.
He'd have to play as a sophomore, and he's 270, and he's not big enough or strong enough to handle it. So if you get bigger, more athletic guys, they're able to pick up strength quicker. So I don't think it's necessarily the strength and conditioning program, although, I mean, clearly any type of reduction injury, training staff and the strength staff have a huge point to do with that. But you also, if you get better pieces, you know, Bill Parcells, if you get better groceries, you can make better food. And so, like, if you're getting better, more athletic guys, you can do more with them rather than having to put on, and I'm using this as, like I said, not as a mean example, love the guy, but like Brock Daigle was 6'7", he's like 215, but 220 when he got to Iowa State at 6'7", like he's a string bean.
That's my size.
Yeah, and basically. So like you had to, in 5 years, be 305.
Yeah.
And so that's a lot.
That feels unhealthy to put that much weight on.
It is. A lot of the guys will immediately, like once they're done, like guy that comes to mind is like Kyle Lichtenberg. Kyle Lichtenberg was in my grade, I think he was like 245, 250, maybe even a little bit more than that when we got to Iowa State. he tore a ligament in his elbow midway through his senior year. And so the back half of the senior year, he just was like, I'm done playing football. I know that I'm not going to try anything at the next level. And I think by the time he left Iowa State, it was like 7 months, he was back down to like 250. He was at 310, 315. And then 8 months later, he lost like 60 pounds.
Well, and I'm sure it's not even hard for him to lose it.
No, because really. his walk around.
His like natural weight is what he was at before.
Yeah, his walk around weight, your walk around weight's not 300 something. Like for me, I ate a lot more, but like coming back down, I was 255 my senior year. By pro day, I mean, it wasn't even like really, I'm going to work hard to lose this weight. By pro day, I was down like 244. So I'd lost like 10, 12 pounds because you just, your body doesn't want to hold that if it doesn't have to.
Yeah. Well, and I think that that's what makes it good with what Campbell's staff has been able to do so far is that when you see a lot of these guys that they're signing, I mean, they're already
– Foster was what?
6'6", 6'7", 260.
Yeah, Foster was what, 6'8", like 275?
Yeah.
As a high school kid? And so that weight is –
Well, Trevor Downing's like that size. Yeah. Like Joey Ramos is that size.
Yeah, it's – you're a – it's a big kid that's an easier project.
Yeah.
To build from a strength and conditioning standpoint, to build that strength and athleticism onto, and then you add that to a scheme that, generally speaking, is going to keep guys in the same spot, and it's going to allow more freedom to move because you know what everybody else is doing.
For sure. We won't be able to do CFTV next week.
No.
I'll be in Kansas City.
Iowa State's going to play on Wednesday.
They are. The practice is on Tuesday.
Yeah.
So unless we're going to do it on Monday, which would be difficult.
I can't do that.
Yeah, I can't do that either.
I got a 14-hour workday on Monday.
Guess we're going to have to wait 2 weeks.
You're gonna miss out on seeing my puppy.
I am. Are you going to bring her to the office?
Maybe. I would like to.
That would be nice.
I'm getting a puppy this weekend.
Is she going to run around the gym?
She is going to run around the gym, but there's going to be a stages of like interjecting her into that.
Yeah.
Like, cause she's got to be cool with the gym cause she'll be gym dog. So if you want to see her, come say hi, in time, but she's got to like, trust me first. Then she's got to be comfortable with the place. Then she's got to be comfortable with noises. She's got to be comfortable with people. And then I can bring her in like full time.
She has to be comfortable with DMX when Chris comes in.
God, he's got bad musical taste.
I like DMX. Not as much as he does.
No, not as much as he does.
Yeah. All right.
It's bad.
Are they going to win tonight?
Who knows? My heart says no.
Good prediction. Way to ride the fence.
Really? I'm going to go with no then.
Okay.
If you're forcing me off the fence.
I am forcing you off the fence.
Then I'm going to say no.
Okay.
Do you think they're going to win tonight?
Yeah.
That's optimism.
Yeah. I'm very happy-go-lucky guy. There we go. CFTV presented by AgriGold. See you guys again in 2 weeks.